Okay, I believe all participants are back in the meeting. If you could mute yourself, if you have noise in the background, we'd appreciate it.
All right, and we are returning to regular session at 1:54.
Madam Chair, if I may, I believe based on the information that we have, it'd be most appropriate to issue a letter of a concern to conclude this complaint. So I'd like to make a motion to issue a letter of concern, which is a non-disciplinary action.
And Chris Daly, I second the motion.
Dr. McAllister, what would the letter of concern be referencing? Is there a statute?
I've probably heard it three times in the last 10 minutes, but lack of notifying of incident within 10 days.
Okay, so 32208.
ARS 32-3208.
Exactly, thank you.
All right, so it was moved
by
again. Dr. McAllister and seconded by Mr. Daly, correct?
Correct.
And then all in favor, Barbara Paulson?
Nay.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye. Aye.
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
And Chris Daly?
Aye. Aye.
And Madam Chair, Ms. Paulson, if you wouldn't mind stating why you voted nay for the record?
I wouldn't mind at all. I believe it was not intentional, and by not providing any services in the state of Arizona, the public's health or safety was not put at risk by this oversight.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Ms. Hubbard, any questions?
So it sounds like there's a letter of concern. What do I need to do from here?
Ms. Harbor, this is Karen Whiteford, the Executive Director. All you have to do is wait for that letter to come in. And like the board members said, this is a non-disciplinary letter. So it does not show up as discipline when somebody looks you up. And they would have to, the public would have to request this letter in order to see it. And then it comes off of your record in either 3 or 5 years. I can never remember. I believe it's 5 years.
Okay. And do I need to alert the other, like my California and Alaska, my other licenses of this?
Mr. Larson, you could probably answer this better than I can, but I believe it would be up to the other states' boards.
Yes, that's sort of that would be, you know, sort of outside of our scope. You would have to, you know, clarify that with the other states. They have, you know, their own regulatory bodies, their own statutes. So that's sort of outside of our scope.
And one more thing, okay. Ms. Harbert, this is not reported to the NBCOT nor the National Practitioners Data Bank, because it's non-disciplinary.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I might be able to ask you this later. Sorry if this is not the right time, but whenever I file for a new license and they ask if there's ever been any, I think it's like actions against your license, would this be something to claim?
I don't believe I can answer that question. You know, some states, they actually have the language in there, have you had any disciplinary actions? Some ask if there has ever been a complaint filed against you. So there was a complaint, but there wasn't a disciplinary action. But a lot of states aren't that specific. So you'd have to check with the other state.
Complaint, not a disciplinary.
Yes.
Okay.
it would always be best to contact that state governing body and discuss that with them to make sure you're appropriately answering the questions on their application.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I just didn't want this to happen again, so I wanted to be clear as much as possible. Okay. That is all the questions I have.
Thank you again, Ms. Harbor, for being here.
Appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Jordan Harbor has left the meeting.
Moving on to agenda item 7, we're going to be looking at some disclosures on applications, starting with line item 7A1, which is an initial application disclosure by Brandon Buckman. Mr. Buckman provided court documentation related to a DUI conviction in August of 2010, verifying that his criminal record had been destroyed in March 2021. Any comments or concerns from the board on this disclosure?
Madam Chair, based on the age and the lack of relevance to practice, I would make a motion, if there's no other discussion, to approve this license for Brandon.
Chris Daly seconded the motion.
Mr. Daly seconded it. All in favor?
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marks?
Aye.
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously 4-0. On to line item 7A2, which is an initial application disclosure by Kelly Cabrera. And I believe Ms. Cabrera is with us. Yes, okay. So let me just do a quick summary on that. Ms. Cabrera had two arrests for shoplifting, one in 2004 when she was 14. Charges on this were dropped as she was a minor. And she also reported another in 2007 where she paid restitution and misdemeanor charges. And the charges were then reduced to an infraction and then expunged. Since that time, Ms. Carrera has received a bachelor's and a master's degree in occupational therapy and served in the United States Armed Forces and has not disclosed any further misdemeanors or felonies since 2007. Ms. Carrera, do you want to make a statement?
No, just thank you for your time. I have been licensed in 4 other states prior to this. I just obviously have to acknowledge it, and I made some bad decisions when I was a kid, but have since again served in the Air Force, and have been licensed in 4 other states since then.
Chris Daly, considering the age and amount of time that's gone by, I'd like to make a motion to approve the application.
This is Charlene Marbs. I second.
Okay, all in favor?
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. So, welcome to Arizona, because now you're working here, right?
Yes, I am. Now I got the green light. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thanks for making the time.
Have a good one.
Thank you. Take welcome. Care.
Moving on to line item 7A3, which is an initial application disclosure by Crystal Farrar. Am I saying that right? Farrar? Crystal?
Hi, Madam Chair. Yes, it's Crystal Farrar. Thank you for asking.
Okay. Brief recap on this disclosure. Ms. Farrar was charged for a misdemeanor in October of 2012. She accepted a plea agreement mandating that she complete a shoplifting/theft diversion program. Ms. Ferrer provided the court documents verifying that she had successfully completed the program in February of 2013. If there's no discussion, I will go ahead and make a motion to approve Ms. Ferrer's license.
This is Charlene Marbs. I second.
All in favor?
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously, 4-0. Thank you, Ms. Ferrer, for making the time to be with us today. Do you have any questions for us?
I don't think so. I just have to wait to get my license mailed to me. Is that correct?
I can email you a copy once it is approved. And then your person will follow in the mail.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you. All right. Line item 7A4 is an initial application disclosure by Madison, I want to say Grzuski. In December of 2015, Ms. Grzuski pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor charge of theft property shoplifting. She provided the board with the court's notice of dismissal that verified she had satisfied all mandated requirements and that her case was dismissed and expunged.
Madam Chair, based on the time frame and the degree of the incident, I move that we approve Ms. Erzit.
Chris Daly, I second the motion.
Okay. All in favor?
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously, 4-0. Moving on to line item 7A5, which is an initial application disclosure by John Jones, who is with us today, correct? Yes, there you are. A brief recap, in 2008-2009, while Mr. Jones was in high school, he was charged with two class misdemeanors. I didn't write that correctly. Of false reporting to a police officer and shoplifting. The outcome of his charge was a deferred adjudication through a diversion program. And I have to say, Mr. Jones, while you were unable to locate these records, which have been destroyed, the board appreciates your due diligence in attempting to get them to us for this review. Are there any comments or?
Not that I can think of. Yeah, I wish I could give you more information.
I knew it. It was quite a few years ago. So, is there a motion out there?
Chris Daly, considering the age and the amount of time, I'd like to make a motion to approve the application.
This is Charlene Marbs. I second.
All in favor?
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously, 4-0. Thank you for coming in and attending the meeting today, Mr. Jones.
My pleasure. I had a question for you guys. I am taking the board exam February 10th. I get my results on the 17th. How soon can you update the license status to OTR once you get the scores?
Once we receive your limited license, so once we receive your scores, you'll pay the remaining licensing fee, and then we will issue you your, Ms. Whitefour will approve it, and then we'll issue you your regular license.
Okay. So I wouldn't need to wait for the following month, like March, for your next meeting?
No. Once the board approves your license, you just pay the remaining fees, and then it is issued to you. You don't have to wait for another.
Okay, thank you. You guys need
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gubrolev, too, for the information.
Good luck on, good luck with the results.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to line item 7B1, which is a renewal application disclosure from Mark Loomis, who is with us here today. Summary, in July 2021, Mr. Loomis was arrested and charged with three misdemeanors, harassment by communication, criminal trespass, and disorderly conduct. The documentation he submitted showed that he was assigned to a veterans treatment court with orders to complete intakes with treatment provider and a mentor program. In that document, it showed that Mr. Loomis had a court date for January 12th. So, Mr. Loomis, do you have any documentation or information from your January 12th court date?
Yes, Madam Chair. I've been officially accepted into the Veterans Court program.
Okay.
Initially, I was conditionally accepted based on my lack of intakes, which is a procedural matter. And I've completed both of my intakes, and I'm also participating in domestic violence diversion courses. It's once weekly, and finally there's the mentor program, and I'm working closely with my mentor just to continue progression through the Veterans Court diversion.
Okay. And is there a timeline on that diversion program?
Yes, I have 24 weeks left. It's a 26-week program.
Okay, thank you.
And once I complete, the charges will be dismissed.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion that we move to executive session.
Would that be for legal advice? You knew I was going to say it.
Yes. I second the motion.
All in favor?
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Motion passes. We will go into executive session at 2:12.
Okay. Those members of the public that are remaining in the meeting, I'm going to move you to our lobby again while the board gets legal advice and executive session. And when that session is over, you'll be returned to the open meeting.
Excuse me.
All right, Madam Chair, everyone has been returned to the meeting.
Okay, we are back in regular session at 2:18 p.m. Whoops, where am I? Okay. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion that we approve the renewal of Mark Loomis's license. Do I have a second?
This is Charlene Marbs. I second.
All in favor?
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Motion passes 4-0. And Mr. Loomis, we really appreciate you being here today. And I would I kind of want to ask a favor, as a courtesy to this board, if you would mind updating us as you proceed through your program.
I certainly will, Madam Chair. Not mind that at all.
Okay, we're not requiring it, but, you know, it would just, we would appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. We wish you the best of luck.
I'd like to thank Mark for his service.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate your time, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Take good care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. On to line item 7B2, which is a renewal application disclosure for Sean Williams. So present with us today. Thank you for being here. In July of 2020, Mr. Williams was arrested for a misdemeanor criminal damage involving domestic violence. Mr. Williams submitted a deferred prosecution agreement that verified he had successfully completed the court-ordered terms in November of 2020. Does that sound right to you, Mr. Williams?
Yes. Yes.
I'm just curious if you have continued your counseling sessions that you included in your statements, or?
No, I didn't. I stopped the counseling sessions. Again, a lot of it, if you read the paperwork I submitted, I don't know if you got the letter, but I did write a letter. A lot of it was stimulation of the PTSD type, you know, experience that I was experiencing at the time with the racial tension that kind of increased back in that period of time. The story was there was an episode of, you know, I broke my own laptop, being frustrated or whatnot with what was going on with the world at the time. I was already seeking counseling before that because a lot of the stuff that had happened had kind of made me a little anxious, I guess you could say, bringing up a lot of old stuff that was going on that was unresolved as far as the racism and the stuff I went through as a kid.
Yes, you were very forthcoming, so we appreciated that. Are you currently working in the home health once again?
Oh, right now I have my own practice.
We
have a standing practice we started up in the epidemic. My wife and I were part of that, and I think that was part of the stressors too, because, you know, as crazy as we decided to open up a building in the middle of the pandemic here. But there was a lot of financial stress at the time when this incident occurred. Our house, we were in the process of purchasing a house, and the people backed out on us, and we ended up having to move out of the house that we were doing a lease to purchase with because of the economy. You know, and it was all in the same month when we were trying to plan all this out. So now I am working and I have students, and I have a occupational therapy assistant and outpatient clinic.
Better days right now.
Oh yeah, yeah, they're a lot better now, that's for sure.
Any comments or questions from the board?
Hi, Mr. Loomis. Hi, Mr. Williams. Chris Daly. Just curious, what type of practice do you have? Is it pediatric or adult?
We see all ages here. It's right now, it's just OT. We work right now. I'm in the process of getting my D2D contract, and so we're just waiting to do our readiness review. So we'll have pediatrics, and then we have adults, and we do physical disabilities, neurological issues. We basically treat the whole body. It's a holistic approach. So we do from birth till death, and then we all conditions.
That's great. Thank you.
Any
Anyone else?
I mean, reviewing this, I don't see anything relevant to practice or any relevance to block a license or anything like that. So.
I agree with you.
I
agree as well.
Do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion. Go ahead, Dr. McAllister.
To approve the license for Sean Williams.
I second.
All in favor?
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously 4-0. Any other questions or comments from you?
I just appreciate you guys taking the time to review the case. And if there's anything else I need to do, just let me know. And I will be 100% compliant. So I appreciate it again.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care, Mr. Williams.
Thank you.
Moving on to line item 8A, I will make a motion that the board ratify the 31 initial applications that were approved by the executive director. Do I hear a second?
Chris Daly, I second the motion.
All in favor?
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Motion passes 4-0. Line item 8B. I will go ahead and make a motion that the board ratify the... Oh, 224. I knew I had the number somewhere. Renewal applications approved by the executive director. Do I have a second?
This is Charlene Marbs. I second.
All in favor?
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously 4-0.
There were a lot of renewals in there.
Yes.
A lot more to come.
Yes.
You all were very busy.
We were.
Okay, moving on to line item 9. On out-of-state registration rulemaking. Ms. Swayford, are you going to lead the conversation on that?
Yes, I will. This is going to be a short one. The rulemaking for out-of-state registration has not been drafted yet. I would prefer to wait until I have the fingerprint clearance card rule or bill approved by the FBI. So that one's on hold for right now, and if I may move on to item number 10. Okay, that's the review, consideration, and possible action update on rulemaking in response to passage of House Bill 2585, fingerprinting. That is the one that allows or requires fingerprint clearance cards from occupational therapists and occupational therapy assistants at initial licensure and at renewal. The FBI still has not approved that new law, so we cannot move forward with that quite yet. However, for those people who are applying and they already have a fingerprint clearance card, we are able to accept those, and we're just keeping track of the ones that we've accepted so that we can communicate with the Department of Public Safety in the future to be added as a sponsor for those licensees.
So does this continue to be kind of a wait and see, and when we hear from them, we'll hear from them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so I'm checking with our fingerprint clearance card team every month to find out if we've heard anything yet. we're about, I think, 3 or 4 months past the due date. So, patience is a virtue, right?
Yep.
Okay, and then item number 11, review, discussion, and possible action, possible distribution of license certificates via email. I believe we mentioned this 2 or 3 months ago in a board meeting. I would like to start sending out license certificates through email. And there are two reasons. Number one, it would allow, it would get the licenses out to our licensees much faster. They wouldn't have to wait for the mail. The license wouldn't be damaged in the mail. It wouldn't get lost, you know, in an apartment building's mail slots. And then also, I would like to save on labor, because it takes, I don't know how many hours to print those licenses, sort them, put seals on them, stamp them, put them in the mail. So I think we could save a lot of time doing it that way. Ultimately, I would like to have it set up so that in our e-licensing system, whether it be in Salesforce or Authentia or whatever other system we've been told we're going to use, I would like to have it so that when I check approved, it automatically sends that license and the wallet card. And this should be doable with the use of DocuSign, which we just purchased, and I'll cover that later, and the whatever licensing software we're using at the time. So I'm interested in hearing from our professional board members if they see any issues with sending out licenses electronically. And one thing I want to point out before you answer that is, if we send them through DocuSign, it will have a digital signature that cannot really be forged.
Chris Daly, I think that's a great idea.
I don't see any problems with this. Well, other than I would just keep thinking Donnie would be like, "I want my certificate."
Yeah. And I mean, Dana was like that too. And that's another thing I wanted to mention. We would have to provide them an option of receiving the actual parchment certificate. So I'd have to figure out how we would handle that.
Just have that up on request or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ms. Weinberg, you answered my question I was going to ask about the security of it with the DocuSign. So
yes.
Thank you for sharing that, because that was my first question with email scams for people.
Right.
How do they ensure that it's, you know, it's legitimate and they're okay with it as well? So the DocuSign.
Yes, and I brought this up at the athletic training board meeting the other day, and they had a question about, you know, how are we going to track who has received their licenses? Because a lot of people don't check their emails very often. And there is an audit function in DocuSign, so you can see who's opened it.
Oh, good. Good.
Would there be a way where we could possibly put that as an option initially, and then move towards it being automatically electronic? I mean, I'm sure that it's possible, but how difficult would it be to have an option on the application? Would you like to receive your license electronically or by mail?
Well, I don't think that would be too difficult to do, but I wouldn't want to spend the time having our IT group programming it into Salesforce if we're going to change.
Right.
But I would definitely, if we're going to switch to Authentia, I think it would be a good idea to add that as part of the application. And I think other states do that as well. And another way that, you know, we could handle it is to have it so that they can sign on to the website and look at their license right there and print it right there. So
Not to make it more complicated, but maybe it would be a good idea to send out a survey just to see how our licensees perceive that. Or am I muddying the waters too much?
Well, we can ask. I'm sure we're going to get answers from both sides. And I wouldn't want to, say, Jane Smith said she wants to get her license by mail. I don't want to have to keep track of that through a survey. So, but it would be good to find out the interest level.
That's a good point.
And another point that I'd like to make is the DocuSign costs $1.15 per envelope. So everything that we send out, so it would be $1.15 per license, but it costs us, Vicki, I know we've talked about this before, I think it's $1.42 per license to mail it.
Plus the printing, plus the parchment paper, plus...
Yeah. Yes.
It would reduce the carbon print.
Yes. So.
Yeah, no, I like it. And plus the whole, you know, faster, less labor needed. It's just so much more efficient.
Yes.
So.
Any more questions on that one?
I don't have anything else.
Madam Chair, number 12 was at the request of Mr. Daly in the last meeting?
Yes. Mr. Daly?
Yes.
So,
would you like me to give a brief explanation of dry needling?
Mr. Yeah. Daly or Madam Chair, if one of you would state the agenda item before getting into the details.
Excuse me, Ms. Whiteford. Yes, we're looking at agenda item 12, discussing a possible addition of information regarding dry needling on our website. Question, so.
Yes, and there was one copy of something from AOT included in the original packet, and then there were a few additions. So just to give just a brief explanation, dry needling is a treatment performed by skilled, trained therapists certified in the procedure. A thin monofilament needle penetrates the skin and treats underlying muscular trigger points for the management of neuromusculoskeletal pain and movement impairments. So to put that into practical terms, an occupational therapist who was specialty trained in that technique would utilize it prior to a patient engaging in various occupations in an effort to improve their functional movement, thereby improving their performance and participation in a functional or skilled occupation activity. It falls along the lines of certain things such as physical agent modalities and various instruments. So I know the board's position is to remain silent on many of those things. Otherwise, it would open up having to really monitor so many different techniques from cupping to instrument-assisted instrument-assisted soft tissue mobilization, suture removal, wound care, debridement, electrical stimulation, cold laser. There are tons and tons of specialty trained techniques that we utilize, and it's the responsibility of the clinician to be properly trained in those techniques. So my request for adding that as an FAQ to actually add something more general would be more congruent with Practice Act modernization, to make a statement that if we remain, you know, we remain silent on physical agent modalities, instruments, and dry needling, it's the responsibility of the therapist to be properly trained in those various techniques, and it would allow for less confusion amongst practicing occupational therapists who are interested in applying these techniques but
are nervous or hesitant because it's not clear from the board standpoint if that is actually allowed or not. So my request would be to add a clarifying statement as an FAQ on the board's website addressing what us remaining silent on those actually means in practice for a therapist.
And how do you see this, the clarifying statement taking shape? Is this something you're going to lead and have the board look at? Or what's your...
Sure, I'd be happy to prepare that for board review.
I did have a question. Is there a demand that's pushing that this be added to the FAQ on the board site that people are constantly wondering or asking? Or?
Yes, it came up from my involvement in the Arizona State Occupational Therapy Association. There are numerous requests from practitioners trying to clarify what they are legally able to do in Arizona. And it would be extremely helpful if there was a clarifying statement regarding that put out on the board's website.
Ms. Weichbert, what happens when you guys get questions about?
Oh boy, let's see. I'm trying to make sure I don't get my agencies mixed up.
It gets shut down pretty quick, from what I remember.
Oh, what'd you say?
Regarding the dry needling?
Yes.
Yeah, I stated that all questions get sent to Ms. Whiteboard.
Oh.
So, I believe, I haven't had one, I haven't had a call for quite some time, but I do get emails, but I usually refer to the meeting minutes from back in, I don't know, maybe 2014, 15, can't remember what year it came before the board. And I hope I'm not getting my two agencies mixed up. But I think at the time the association chose to not pursue dry needling as far as legislation, but they didn't say that it was outside of the scope of practice. I would like to say that I'm going through a similar situation with the athletic training board, and it can become very messy.
Messy in the aspect of putting information out there on the website?
So
messy or...
And I don't know how much of this we can discuss based on the way that this is on the agenda, but we added information to, at the athletic training board added information to their website, you know, similar to part of the FAQ, stating that dry needling was outside of the scope of practice. So this was back in 2014, before the training and education that was required was defined by the association and the accrediting bodies. So that went up in 2014. Now the athletic training board is trying to promulgate rules to allow dry needling, and the governor's regulatory review council viewed the website and saw that there was that comment or that statement about it being outside of the scope of practice. So that caused a big problem. So just know that whatever you put out there on the website, other governmental bodies will be looking at that in the future if you decide to pursue, or if the association decides to pursue legislation, or if the board decides to promulgate rules regarding dry needling.
Okay.
So it has to be carefully worded.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Chris, it sounded like you were just going to do a pretty general clarifying kind of, but we'll see it when you get it.
Perfect, yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Chris, for explaining that.
Yes.
To us lay people, greatly appreciate that.
My pleasure.
I enjoyed it, too. Okay, line item 13. Back to you, Ms. Whiteburn.
Okay, item 13A, the financial report. And this section is board business and reports. So item A is financial report. I received the December report a few hours ago, right before I sent it to you. So I was able to update the numbers based on other things that have been purchased since the end of December. And the projected remaining ending allotment at the end of the fiscal year is $3,677. So we're in good shape. We're a little bit behind on our revenue, but I think with this renewal season, we'll catch up quickly. So that's all on that one, unless you have any questions. Okay, item 13B, review of recent board staff activities. We continue to work at home more now than we were a month ago, thanks to the new surge. That's it on that one. Item 13C, update on transition to Thentia for online licensing. I believe I might have stated in the last meeting that we were waiting for the executive budget to be released, and I thought it was going to be released today, but I haven't seen it yet. So if there's money in there for us to move forward with Thentia or some kind of other solution, it will show up in that budget. So I will have an update on that next month. Item 13D, Drupal website design tool conversion. So we've used Drupal for quite a few years now. We're on an old version. We're upgrading to Drupal 9, which appears to be a lot easier to use. So I'm very happy about that. And then at the same time, IT has created a new look and feel for all of the board websites or all of the agency websites. It is a lot cleaner, a lot more professional looking. I think you'll all be very happy with it. We do have to transition all of our information from the old version to the new version. And because I don't have enough IT projects going on, I asked to get this as soon as possible because I want to get our websites cleaned up. And, you know, ultimately make all of these things work together. The Drupal, DocuSign, Google, Thentia or Salesforce, you know, I really want to have everything automated as much as possible. So the more current our tools are, the more likely that we'll have that. 13E, DocuSign usage. We recently purchased 3,500 envelopes from DocuSign. We can use it not only to send out the license certificates, like we talked about a few minutes ago, but also to send out consent agreements. We can have, like, the out-of-state registration form. That can be done on DocuSign directly from our website. So this will be a great way for us to legally track all of our signatures and not have to wait for mail to be sent back and forth. Any questions so far? Okay, the next one's a quick one. Item F, statistics. We have 4,360 current active licensees. That's gone up, I think, only about 15 since last month. And then 88 current inactive licensees, 2 active consent agreements with the next item due on April 1st, 2022. 1 pending consent agreement, which the certified mail was returned to me, so I have to track down this person. We have now 7 open investigations, and I believe we have 2 more complaints coming in soon. Okay, and then item 13E, open board member positions. I've not heard anything, you know, that the governor's office is still understaffed and they have a lot of work to do right now. So I don't anticipate hearing anything for quite a while.
I'm going to start asking for a raise.
I love it. All right.
Nobody can beat me for years of experience, so.
Exactly.
Well, we had somebody from the athletic training board who finally was able to leave after 10 years of service. No, I think 12.
Wow.
12 years.
There should be a special pin or something.
I know.
Comments on that,
Clinton? Yeah, I want a plaque or something, all right?
Right?
You're just kidding.
I think there should be a wing of a building or something.
Okay.
And shoot for that stars.
Madam Chair, item 14 was at the request of Dr. McAllister. So if one of you would read that agenda item and move forward.
I will. Line item 14, review, discussion, and possible action. Possible addition to board staff. So I believe I'll make a motion to go in executive session to discuss personnel matters.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Actually, nope. Apologies, Madam Chair, members of the board. Unfortunately, I don't see any citation to the statute for personnel matters on the agenda for this. And I probably should have caught, I didn't realize that was the board's intention today. I apologize. When I first saw the agenda, I should have caught that. But so I don't think the board can go into executive session on that, at least for that reason right now, just because that's not on the, it's not agendized that way.
And Justin, if it were to discuss personnel matters, then the personnel would have to be notified, but we're not really talking about any current personnel.
Yes, and in fact, and I'll have to go back and review this, but my understanding is that the executive session for personnel matters usually is only, the boards are only supposed to go into executive session for personnel matters to discuss specific personnel or personnel decisions, and if there's not like an identifiable person that they're, you know, going to be discussing, then it's generally not advisable to go into executive session in the first place. So, you know, if it's at all possible, I think it's probably, you know, I apologize. My memory is not serving as to what the discussion was at the last meeting on this matter, but you know, if it's at all possible for the board to have the discussion in open session, I think that, you know, for purposes of today, I would recommend that we do that. Or otherwise, we can table the matter.
So could we go into executive session for legal advice? Because I'm not sure, I can clarify it, but I'm not sure if that's appropriate. I think it's more appropriate for executive session to get the clarification.
If you have a legal question that you'd rather pose in executive session, then yeah, we could go into executive session for legal advice.
Okay, I would like to go in. I'd like to make a motion to go into executive session for legal advice. Then.
Okay, is there a second?
Chris Daly, I second the motion.
All in favor?
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Quentin McAllister.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. And Karen, did you just knock off my initial motion?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right,
we'll go into executive session at 2:53. Are we back? No.
Now we are back.
You can do that so quickly now. I love that.
Well, when it's only two people, it's a lot easier.
We are back in regular session at 2:58 p.m. Moving on to line item 15, nomination and election of board officers. I would like to make a statement that I'm okay being a one-term chair if someone feels a calling to move up to the big chair and a gavel.
Actually, I'd like to make a, I guess, a nomination or a motion that you remain as our chair, Ms. Polkman. If you're agreeable to being nominated.
Sure, it's a team effort. Do I hear a second?
Chris Daly, I second.
All in favor?
Barbara Paulson.
I feel so bad. Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Quentin McAllister.
Will Orr
has joined the meeting.
I apologize, Madam Chair, members of the board. I was on mute. I didn't realize. Just to backtrack really quick, Ms. Paulson, since you are the nominated board member, you'll actually need to abstain from the votes.
Oh. Okay.
So if we could just redo that,
redo.
I apologize.
Okay. Redo the whole making a motion from the, or just?
Just for the record, to clarify the record, we could probably just start it over.
Okay, scratch that out, and Charlene, you want to go again?
I'll do it again. I'd like to re-nominate Ms. Paulson as our board chair.
Chris Daly, I second.
All in favor?
Barbara Paulson? Abstained?
Yes.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Motion passes with 3 ayes and 1 abstention. All right. Any other motions regarding nomination?
We need a vice chair.
We need a vice chair.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say I would be honored to continue to serve as the vice chair of the board.
I was going to nominate you, so.
All right. Why don't you go ahead with that nomination?
I'd like to make a motion to nominate Charlie Marbs as vice chair.
Chris Daly, I second the motion.
All in favor?
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs, you would be abstained?
Abstained.
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Motion passes with 3 ayes and 1 abstention.
Thank you.
So that's done. All right. Moving on to agenda item 16. Agenda items for our next meeting.
I would like to ask for a couple things. One being the personnel matters as discussed, so that we can discuss personnel matters in executive session and have that item to discuss. The second thing is, Mr. Larson, I don't want to put anything extra on you, but I feel like we are always asking you the same questions, so maybe it's possible to give us a simple flow sheet for the board members so that we can refer to that instead of asked to go into executive session and ask those same repeating questions over and over. Might save us time and maybe some of your time in the long run as well.
Absolutely. Madam Chair, newly elected Madam Chair, and members of the board, I would be happy to put together a flow sheet on, you know, the board's options at different points in the disciplinary process, the complaint process, and all of that. And, you know, for the record, too, I'll just add, I'm also happy to provide any other legal trainings that the board is interested in, whether it be, you know, conflicts of interest. I know that's one that boards try to do, you know, once a year. And, you know, open meeting law, you know, there are all sorts of things that our office regularly, you know, conducts trainings on for our board members. And so any time that the board has specific things that you'd like to, you know, receive any sort of legal training on, I would always be happy to
to prepare, you know, materials and go through a training and during one of our meetings. So just, you know, that's something to keep in mind for the future. But for now, yes, I'd be happy to put together some sort of, you know, flow chart or, you know, I'll probably just do it like a memo with a and try to put together a flow chart as well as to, like, you know, what the disciplinary process looks like for this board and, you know, what options are available, at what point I'd welcome the opportunity, and I will try to get that together as quick as possible, possibly for next month, but if not, you know, the following month, I could probably have it by then.
Mr. Larson, you do training for other boards as well. Would you ever combine the boards to conduct, like, open meeting training? Would you combine us and another board at the same time, or is it done separately?
I have not heard of combined trainings before with the boards. I'd have to just, you know, clarify with my office and see if that's an option. But it, you know, a lot of the time it overlaps. You know, that we'll you know, I'll use training materials for one board that I can, you know, pretty easily change up and then modify for another board. So it doesn't, you know, impose that much more time on me to have to, you know, just do it with separate boards, if that makes sense.
Oh, okay.
But except for, you know, with disciplinary stuff, like, you know, when it comes to, you know, every board has their own sort of mm-hmm. unique processes for how their disciplinary cases work and what the procedures are. So that would be one that's more like tailor-made to this board. But on things like open meeting law and conflicts of interest and stuff, you know, those trainings generally, you know, are just updated every year. But we have materials in our office that we sort of use, you know, across the board on those things. So, but if, you know, I could happily look into that if you were interested in, you know, doing a combined thing.
And would these trainings be on, like, a separate day from our board meeting, correct?
They could be, or I could do them during a regular meeting, you know, whenever the board has, like, a lighter agenda or something like that. It's really up to the board. It's just, you know, we would just have to give the proper notice, but, you know, we could do it in a special meeting at some time, you know, or we could do it during one of the regular meetings. It's really up to you guys.
Okay, and my last question, I promise. Will you give us a list of trainings that are available for you?
Yes, I can do that. Yeah, I can put together a list of all the different trainings that we, you know, generally provide, and I can I can have that to you definitely by next month. And you know, in the meantime as well, I'll come with that. Be prepared to come with that list next month. And if the board, in the meantime, and the board members want to, you know, think about what sort of things that they would be interested in, other than, of course, what Mr. McAllister raised today, which I'll already get started on. But on other things, you know, if there's anything else anybody thinks of that, you know, that you're interested in receiving training on, even if it's something that's sort of tailor made, I'm happy to put together what I can.
I'd like to make sure we have that as an agenda item for our next meeting. Mm-hmm.
What specifically as the agenda item, the list of trainings?
Yes, that Mr. Larson presents the board with a list of trainings available to us as board members.
Thanks, Charlie.
And Chris, I'd like to add a review of the prepared FAQ statement regarding dry needling and physical teaching modalities.
Can I call it a draft?
Sure. Review of the draft statement.
Are you planning on including other modalities other than dry needling in that, or...?
It would make the most sense in my mind to make it regarding instruments and physical agent modalities, because there's so many of them and it all falls into the same category.
Yeah, I agree. I like it.
Okay. Anything else for next month? Okay, moving on to line item 17. It's the call to the public. We see you out there. Any questions for any of the board members? Not hearing any, so...
I don't have a question. This is Will Orr, but I would just like to make a comment on the topic of dry needling.
Please do.
I think it's a great idea in terms of just having an umbrella in terms of modalities. But I know, like, looking at other states and their practice acts, like Ohio, for instance, they explicitly state that since dry needling is a modality, it falls under their scope, just so that there's not any ambiguity in terms of the use in their state. So just in terms of when the FAQ draft is developed, just maybe having a little bit more explicit language, that would be helpful for us practitioners out here just trying to navigate and figure out what is and isn't appropriate for us to use in practice.
Thank you for that input.
No problem.
I see Mr. Daly scribbling madly to get it all down.
I took some Thanks. Notes.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you, Will.
Iowa's one of the few states that have done well with addressing it, I feel like.
Any other comments or questions? If not, we're going to move to agenda item 18. And I would say, given that the board has no further business on the agenda, this meeting is adjourned at 3:11.
Will or...